Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt Walsh is a former Florida Gator. He is the CEO and managing partner of the New Zealand Breakers. He is also an award-winning listener, a recurring guest on the Barstool Sports Pardon My Take. I believe he got Big Cat to buy into Swansea City. But more importantly, Matt, I want to ask you this. Is 30 points tonight at FedEx Forum too many?
Is that the line?
That is the line, according to my financial planner's website that he provides.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm not allowed to bet on the game, but theoretically, if I was a betting name, yes, I would be hammering the Breakers.
Okay, that's what Mark says, too.
That's what I said. They only lost the Suns by six last year.
Five.
Oh, there you go. Five. Even better.
And my logic was, this is too many points, so therefore I should lay them, because it seems like they want me to take the Breakers, because that seems like a smart play. And therefore...
Hey, listen, I'm all for reverse logic and gambling. If I'm looking at it from the outside, anytime I feel really good about a bet, I know that's the disaster waiting to happen.
The truth is, that's what I did with your Gators on Saturday. I was like, I think Auburn's passed the eye test. Like, everything screamed to me Auburn, so I bet Florida, and that was the right move.
That was the right move. Look, I mean, we've got NBA level talent on our team. Scottie Hobson will be one of the best players on the court tonight. That's my big prediction of the night. RJ Hampton will play well. Our New Zealand guys are all national team level players coming off a World Cup where they competed with, you know, Giannis and Greece and beat Turkey. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than people suspect. I think our line last year with Phoenix was 28 or something like that. And we had two threes in the final minute to tie the game. So I think it's going to be tight.
Interesting. All right, so Matt, we talked last night at the practice at FedEx Forum, but I wanted to take our listeners, I guess, back to, you know, before we get into how you ended up convincing RJ Hampton to come over to New Zealand, and how this game ended up coming to be. Just how did you end up, you know, you never played in New Zealand, correct, during your career?
Nope. No, I played in just about every country in Europe, but I never played in New Zealand or Australia.
Gotcha. So just take people through. How does a guy who never played in New Zealand, who is from the Philly area, played at Florida in college, like, how do you come to own a New Zealand basketball team that, judging from the appearance I just made on New Zealand radio earlier today, is a pretty big deal over there, too?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a strange story. I have a mutual friend with the former owners of the team, the Blackwells, incredible people. They're here on the tour with us. He called me in September or October of 2017 and said, hey, these people, they're wonderful people. They built something special with the Breakers. They're looking to sell, and I think this league is getting ready to take off, and basketball is growing, and I think you should take a look at it. So that's what I did. I flew to New Zealand for 2 weeks. Took a look at the team, did some research on the growth of the game, the growth of the league. Larry Kesselman, who owns the league, I really believe in him in terms of his commercial know-how and what he wants to do with the league. And really, I just got to a point where I was like, I believe in the growth of basketball, I believe in the league, and I can buy this franchise, which was basically like the San Antonio Spurs of the NBL, and it just seemed like an amazing opportunity. I wanted to stay involved with the game, and it just all came together. Quite honestly, I don't know how it all worked out, but it did, and I feel very fortunate that I get to be a part of something pretty special for New Zealanders.
Yeah, so are you living in New Zealand now?
Yes, I live in New Zealand full-time. I'm here for the tour. I get back every now and then for business, but I'm a New Zealander. I'm a Kiwi.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Now, isn't that fairly uncommon? Isn't it fairly difficult to immigrate to New Zealand?
Yeah, it is. Fortunately, due to my investment in the country, right, in the country and the team, I was able to get a 5-year residency class working visa. During that time, I'm going to try and get my permanent residency just so I have the option to go back there anytime. But yeah, it's not the easiest country to, you know, kind of get through those visa processes. We've had some issues with our players in the past, but they've welcomed me with open arms, and I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, so you buy into this league. Did you know at that point that they were going to be starting this Next Stars program, or did that happen after you bought the Breakers?
Well, there was I had talks with it with Jeremy Lolliger, the commissioner of the league, and Larry Kesselman, and obviously they had success with Terrence Ferguson coming over and playing a year in Adelaide, and then last year, my first year as an owner, we had Brian Bowen, who's with the Pacers now. So it was always part of the plan in terms of for business perspective from the Breakers. We always looked at it as an opportunity, and the Next Stars program itself came after that, but we always looked at it like this is a great place for guys who don't want to go to college as an opportunity to play in a grown man's league and develop in, you know, an amazing country.
So how did you identify RJ Hampton as a prospect who would be interested in this, and then how did you convince him to do it, to make that leap?
Yeah, we started to hear that RJ was thinking about reclassifying, and that was the first step. And then after that, it was a multi-step process. The first was understanding whether it was really realistic that RJ was going to decide to go pro and not play college. Once he did that, and or at least once we knew that that was a possibility, it was basically just like recruiting, like, you know, these college guys do. We had to sell him on the city of Auckland, the country of New Zealand. We had to sell him on the league. We had to sell him on the team. We had to sell him on the ownership. But in terms of what we can offer compared to other teams in Europe or overseas, I don't think that wasn't really a hard process because we've got American ownership. You come and live in paradise in Auckland, New Zealand. We've got incredible facilities. We've got top-notch, world-class strength and conditioning and doctors. And we can offer basically, you know, the way I put it is an NBA light that I don't think places around the world can. And I think for guys that understand that they're going to be a pro and they don't want to go to school, we offer something very unique and special.
So did you, really when it came down to it, you mentioned like you weren't necessarily, it was an easy sell over the other professional leagues, but ultimately you had to recruit him over Penny Hardaway, Mike Miller, and Bill Self, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what we were competing against, because at the end of the day, college is a big draw card. And, this is an 18-year-old young man in RJ that, at any point he could have been just like, you know, this is just too out there for me and I'm going to go to school. But he's a very brave young man. He's a very put together young man. And he decided that this was the route he was going to take. And like I said, I mean that, and that's not putting down any other clubs in our league or around the world, but I don't think there's any club globally that can offer what we can when you look at the whole package.
Matt, I wanted to ask you this. In terms of, you know, recruiting an 18-year-old to play against professional basketball players, grown men, is that an easy transition for these guys? Obviously, they're extremely talented, but there's a difference, in my opinion, between playing against, you know, other college players and playing against grown men that are playing for a living. Is that been something that has been an easy transition for a lot of these guys that you mentioned, or is it something that there's an adjustment period with?
I think, you know, there's ups and downs, and there's definitely it's definitely an adjustment period. RJ, although he's been playing at the top level and he's trained with NBA guys, he's never played a full season against grown men. There's guys in our league who play for the Australian national team, New Zealand national team. These are high-level guys. You know, he's going to be playing against guys who are old enough to be his dad, really. So there's definitely a transition, but I think it's case-by-case basis, and RJ has just been so professional. He's come with such a great attitude, and I think you're going to see a very grown-up 18-year-old today compete against Ja Morant and the rest of the Grizzlies.
Matt, what's the style of play like in the NBL? I mean, I know, you know, there's certain European leagues where it's a much more physical game, and there's certain European leagues where it's much more of a finesse game. In the NBL, what is kind of the common style of play that we see actually on the floor?
Yeah, it's growing towards that modern basketball. There's a lot of small ball lineup. Teams get up and down. They use, you know, the spread pick and roll. Last year was the highest scoring year in league history. So it's really going towards those high level teams that play the spread pick and roll, NBA sets. And, you know, last year we averaged right around 100 points in a 40-minute game.
Yeah.
So we're scoring a lot of points.
In terms of this week, tonight, how important is this for RJ Hampton and for your club?
I think it's important, but I don't think it's it's very cool for the club. It's a great opportunity for the guys. It's an amazing experience for everyone involved. But for RJ, these NBA teams are very smart. They invest a lot of money in their scouting and their front offices, and they're going to look at the whole package that RJ, the whole picture over the next 7 or 8 months, and they're going to have a whole lot of video to watch. So tonight is a good test, but it's the first step in a year-long journey for RJ, and I don't think it should be overblown that, you know, if for some reason he comes out and doesn't shoot the ball well or anything like that, it's going to cost him his draft stock, because it's a long year. I think all these guys know how talented RJ was, and this is as much about getting eyes on RJ and seeing how he works and how his teammates react to him and his body language. I think that's equally as important as how he plays tonight, because everyone knows how talented he is.
Take out tonight, like you mentioned, like this isn't the end all be all. Like you played basketball for a long time. How good is he?
He's big time. I mean, I tell all the scouts, the one thing we didn't know about RJ was what kind of teammate he would be, how smart he would be on the court. He's blown us away in those categories. Great teammate, great guy. He picks up the stuff quickly. But in terms of his talent, the only guy I can compare him to in terms of how he is athletically, and I'm not saying he's like this guy, but Russell Westbrook, in terms of he jumps off both legs equally well. He can jump off 2 feet. When he gets by, he can go by anyone. I don't care who you are. He shoots the ball well enough for an 18-year-old. He's going to grow into a very good shooter. He just moves physically and does things with the ball that I, in my career, being around basketball for the last 20 years, I've only seen a handful of guys with the physical tools like RJ has.
Talking, of course, with Matt Walsh. He is the CEO and managing partner of the New Zealand Breakers. The New Zealand Breakers taking on the Grizzlies tonight. And then, Matt, with the name, image, and likeness, I know we're a long way away from any type of NCAA legislation and that actually becoming a part of the college game. But how closely do you monitor that? Because if this is if this formula that we're starting to see with Terrence Ferguson, that we're starting to see with RJ Hampton, if that becomes a successful formula that helps you really, get some elite level players, is that something that you're watching as a threat, or do you view that as something that's, neither here nor there?
To be honest, I don't think about it a lot. There will be changes with the NCAA. There will be changes with the NBA and the one-and-done rule. We look at everything on a year-by-year basis. While they still have the one-and-done rule, while the NCAA is still working out all their nonsense, we're going to continue to do what we do. We're already recruiting guys for next year for the Next Stars program. We think what we offer is a very unique, amazing package and a life experience for these guys that they won't get in college. And look, I had the most amazing experience playing for Billy Donovan, so this is not a knock on the college system, because I think for most guys, the college system is great, but when you've got a mature kid like RJ who wants to play against grown men, I think we offer a really good alternative. So, I'm not looking at it like I'm competing with the NCAA or NBA and I've got to follow all these rules and fight legislation and stuff. I'm just looking at it like this is a great opportunity for us. We're going to enjoy it while we can. And then when, the system changes, we'll adjust and adapt accordingly.
Is Jalen Green one of those players you're recruiting for next year?
I'm pretty sure we have no tampering rules, and I can say whatever I want. But because these kids are in high school, I'm just going to leave it alone and not mention any names. I think you guys can probably respect that.
Yep.
Matt, I wanted to ask you this, though. You've gone through the draft process. You've had friends that have gone through the draft process. You know exactly what it's like. How much do you think an NCAA brand, if you're playing on national TV every night and you're in the consciousness, how much do you think that impacts the draft? Because I do think that's an interesting question for RJ Hampton. He's not going to be a name that everyone's going to watch during, March Madness, but at the same time, that doesn't change the type of player that he is. Do you think a brand is something that affects draft stock? I'm saying for generic player, not necessarily for RJ.
No, I don't think so. I think the world has become, so much smaller in a lot of ways in terms of, you've got these international guys that get drafted. And although most basketball people knew exactly who Luka was from playing with Real Madrid, most people didn't know who Luka was. And there was probably even some boos when he got drafted. So I think that's less and less of an issue. You think back to when like Dirk got drafted, it was so out there and people couldn't believe it.
Right.
I think nowadays it's, I think, you know, for the kids and for the players and their agents and everything, it's important to build a personal brand because they're looking at this as, you know, they've got 10 or 15 years to do that and make their money. But in terms of draft stock, these guys will have watched the top 100 players in the world so many times and they'll pick them apart that I don't think it goes into the thinking of NBA front offices or scouting.
We're wrapping up here with Matt Walsh, the CEO and managing partner of the New Zealand Breakers, who play the Memphis Grizzlies at FedEx Forum tonight. All right, so you know Mike Miller really well. You're both Florida Gators. You won a high-profile recruiting battle over him. Have you gloated to him about that?
No, I'll be honest. I mean, Mike had so much going on. They had their amazing pro day yesterday. I talked to all the scouts who came directly from the pro day over to our practice. He said all the scouts said they did such a great job. And what Mike and Penny are doing at Memphis is absolutely phenomenal. I'm a huge Mike Miller fan. So I joke that I'm a better recruiter than him, but that's not true. That's probably about equally as true as if I joke and say I'm a better shooter than him. he's probably better in both respects. I love Mike. I wish them the best. And I'll continue to try and target the guys that I think I have a really good chance at, so I have a pretty good winning percentage.
Matt, we really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
That is Matt Walsh, the CEO and the managing partner of the New Zealand Breakers.
What'd you make of his non-answer on Jalen Green?
I think that was, we're going after him really hard.
Yeah, I think so, too. He already won. I mean, like, he was downplaying there. Like, he won one recruit. Like, this is, like, maybe the only guy who's beaten Penny and Mike in a recruiting battle so far.
Well, I think the thing that's fascinating about it is you've mentioned with this 2020 recruiting class.
Now, it's an unfair scale in that he can legally offer, you know, $1 million if you want.
Access to shoe companies, yeah. and you can sign with an agent.
It's like Penny and Mike are fighting with one arm tied behind their back.
Now, one thing that I do think is interesting, you've pointed out how there are certainly big prospects in this recruiting class that are going to be watching how the Tigers do, more importantly, watching how the draft stock of certain guys, not necessarily James Wiseman, but Precious Achiuwa, as you mentioned, Boogie Ellis started to turn some eyes, Lester Quinones as well. I think it's fascinating because you won't really know until the draft, and at that point, Jalen Green will have had to make a decision, but I do think I think R.J. Hampton's draft stock is going to also factor in for Jalen Green, because if you see him go up and become, you know, a top five guy, I think right now Draft Express, Jonathan Givony, Mike Schmitz, I think they have him as their number six guy currently. But if he gets into that top five and it feels as if he's going to be a top five pick, I think then that becomes a much more significant option, because
games this week are important against the Grizzlies. And because like he said, I think he's right that if RJ has a bad game again tonight, I don't think it will completely wreck his draft stock by any means.
No, I find that highly unlikely.
But if he goes out and puts up 25 on John Morant and then puts up another 25 against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you best believe it's going to help his draft stock.
Yeah, I think in these types of situations, you have to do something really. Like, I don't know if you can really hurt yourself. I do think you can hurt.
Totally overmatched, right, that could affect him.
But say he looks like he belongs on the court, but he doesn't make shots.
If he beats it, if you will.
Sure. That's an aspect of it. But I also think, I think so much in scouting is you find a guy you like, and then there's kind of confirmation bias. And Matt pointed out, so many of these prospects get picked apart one way or the other. I think it's a situation that if you went into this liking R.J. Hampton, most of the time, as you mentioned, unless you just look completely lost and like you don't belong on the floor, people will find things that you did well on that night, even if you didn't shoot the ball well.
Yeah. No, and he's going to have moments. Whether he plays quote-unquote well or not, he's too talented, even yesterday in practice. Like, he's going to have moments where you're going to be like, ooh, look at this guy. I mean, he's a 6'4 point guard who, like Walsh said, can
athletic,
springy
yeah.
and can get by anyone off the dribble, and he's an improving shooter. I mean, that's not many of those around.
No, they are few and far between.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.